Well, hey, this morning we are going to look at our final cue from the pew. And like I have said every other week for the last, 2 months, this is a great question. Should I be baptized? That's it. No other context, no history or anything. Just should I be baptized? That's a great question. And one that I am glad that we have a chance to dig into here this morning. Now, I realize that in a church like ours, baptism is kind of a sensitive issue because, admittedly, we have people here who come from all different circumstances. You know, some of us here were baptized as children, and the last thing that we want to do is dishonor what our parents did for us. Some of us here have a fully fledged covenant theology where it makes sense to baptize as infants. Some of us here have been baptized as believers, and some of us have done all three. So I really want this morning to try to honor everybody's circumstances and at the same time give what I think is a reasonable biblical answer to that question, should I be baptized? And I do assume that this person is asking, should I be baptized as a believer? Because I'm pretty sure that Weston McBay did not submit this question to me. So let's look in the Bible at our question, should I be baptized? The very first place in the Bible where it talks about baptism is John the Baptist's ministry in the Gospels. So Mark 1, verses 4 and 5, for example, says, John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So here in Mark and in the Gospels generally, baptism indicates repentance and forgiveness. The people confess their sin, they are forgiven by God, and they are baptized as the way to show that that has happened. It's a pretty straightforward connection. The baptism that they choose to undergo shows that they have reoriented their hearts fundamentally from sin to God. That perspective is pretty consistent throughout the Gospels and then into the book of Acts as well. So Acts 2, verse 38, Peter, up to verse 38, Peter's presenting the gospel to people in Jerusalem there. And then he concludes with verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, you see here, right, that baptism is a sign that repentance and forgiveness has happened. They confess their sin, they turn away from sin toward God, they trust in Jesus, he forgives them, gives them the Holy Spirit, and then they are baptized to show that that whole complex of things has happened. They are baptized to show that repentance, forgiveness, belief, and spiritual renewal have all taken place. That's true in Acts 2. It happens again and again like that in the book of Acts. Chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 16, 18, 19, 22. Baptisms happen in all of those chapters. I'll give you just a couple more. Well, three more. In Acts 8, Philip goes up to Samaria to tell the people about Jesus. They respond in faith, turning from sin to God. And 8, verse 12 says, when they believed Philip as he preached the good news, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. They believe, they get baptized. It's just a pattern. Same thing in Acts 8, 18, verse 8. Paul and his gang are up in Corinth, and they are preaching the gospel, and it says, verse 8, Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire house believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. It's a pattern. Believe, you get baptized. Acts 16, a famous story, right? Paul and Silas are in jail together. Earthquake rips the doors off of the place. The jailer is about to kill himself out of guilt and shame, and Paul's like, dude, slow your roll. he says to them, we're all here. He says to him, we're all here. And then, verse 30, the jailer says, well, what do I need to do to be saved here? Because something clearly miraculous has happened. And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they went and spoke the word to everybody who was here, so everybody heard it. And then verse 34 tells us that both the jailer and the family came to believe. So guess what happened? They got baptized. It's the pattern. The jailer and the family trust themselves to Jesus, but they don't stop there. They are baptized in order to show that they have turned from sin. So repentance has happened. Forgiveness is happening. They are believing and being spiritually renewed. They go down into the water of baptism and come back up. Right? They symbolically die along with Jesus and rise again, so that it's clear to the world that they believe. So, what do you think? Should you be baptized as a believer? I think so. I see a pattern here again and again throughout the New Testament. I really do think that baptism is the normal, fundamental, God-given way of saying once and for all, I believe. You know, time and again, the Bible puts baptism and belief side by side so that they just go together. We're not saved by baptism. We're not forgiven by baptism. We don't receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. That all happens the hour we first believe. But baptism looks back on that moment and says, that happened. I do believe. And it looks forward and says, I'm going to live in light of it from now on. So should you be baptized as a believer? I would say yes, because baptism is the normal, foundational, God-given way of saying, I believe. Normal, because it happens again and again in the Bible. Foundational, because it's just the way of marking belief in the Bible. And God-given, because in the Great Commission, God says to the apostles, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are called both to baptize disciples and so to be baptized as disciples. Is it possible that someone who doesn't believe could be baptized? Well, sure. Isn't it possible that you can show by your life to the world that you are baptized? Yeah, of course, and you want to do that. Does that mean that you shouldn't be baptized as a believer? No. It is the normal, foundational, God-given way that we have to say, once and for all, I believe. So what if I was baptized as a kid? Right. I was baptized as a baby, and for a long time, that kept me from wanting to be baptized. I didn't want to go back on what my parents had done. And look, I think that covenant theology makes a really good argument for baptizing people, baptizing babies as a way to welcome those children into the covenant community. But at the same time, it's clear from, you know, the passages that we looked at this morning and from other ones that baptism and belief just go hand in hand, that it's the normal, foundational, God-given way of saying, I believe. And I know that when I was a kid, I didn't believe. When I was baptized, I didn't believe. When I was confirmed, I don't think I really believed that my heart was oriented away from sin and to God. It wasn't until way later that I truly believed. And then again after that I was actually baptized. You know, looking back, I realized that my baptism as a baby was my parents' way, really, of saying, we hope he believes. And my believer's baptism was my way of saying, I do believe. Can I trust in Jesus without being baptized? Sure. You know, it's not like baptism saves you. You know, it is the faith that that baptism marks that saves you. But really, it's a bit like saying, do I have to have a marriage ceremony? I mean, I guess. You don't have to be married in front of other people. You could just go to the justice of the peace and get it done. But why would you? Right? You want to look back at this moment and say, I've made this commitment to this person. You want to be able to celebrate in a community that I have made a commitment to this person. Baptism is a little bit like that. Because it gives us a chance to be able to come together as a community and say, you know, I have committed myself to Jesus. And just as the ring is the symbol of my marriage, the baptism is a symbol of my faith. If you haven't been baptized as a believer, talk to me about it. You know, I don't want you to feel pressured because, you know, I felt pressure from some people in the past, and that's why I resisted it. But when I stopped and thought about this pattern of believe, baptize in the New Testament, it struck me this is just an important step in our discipleship. You know, if you have believed, right, that you have repented, been forgiven, trusted in Jesus, been spiritually renewed by the Holy Spirit, then let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that going down into the waters of baptism. Identifying with Jesus in his death so that we will be able to identify with him again in his resurrection. Let's pray together. Lord, there is lots here to think about, and I know that this is something that can be close to our heart. Something that we are not too sure where we stand, or not too sure that we want to move on. God, I pray that you would work. Well, the pattern that I see in the New Testament is that when a person believes, they are baptized. It's just the symbol of their faith. And a moment for us to walk with you, to be obedient to you, to honor you. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, each of us. It's true. You know, more people will see by our lives that we believe than will know by our baptism that we believe. And we want to, Lord, show by our lives that we have faith. If we didn't show by our lives that we had faith, then I would question whether or not baptism should happen in the first place. But God, we want to be a city on a hill. But we also want to have that moment with you where we identify with you, that we die with you and rise again to life through baptism. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, your death on the cross makes all of this possible. Our baptism doesn't save us. Our good works don't save us. You, dying for our sin, giving us the ability and the willingness to confess our sin and come to you. You save us. Thank you for that. We pray that you would be with us as we process this through the week. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.